Welcome to the MBG podcast.
Let's fire everybody.
Welcome, everybody, to episode number 69, the Message Board Geniuses podcast. This is Hoos. I got Casey, Joy, MBG. College basketball season is in the books. Women's season ended on Sunday with South Carolina knocking off the Fighting Caitlin Clarks 87-75 to finish off a perfect 38-0 season. And then last night, UConn finished laying waste to the men's bracket, beating Purdue 75-60 to win their second straight NCAA championship. So I'm sure you guys watched. Any big takeaways from the weekend games?
Before we start that, what episode did you say this was?
Nice. I was waiting on someone to make an inappropriate comment about it.
You just try to slip that by, like it was not a big...
I expected more from you, honestly.
Like it's not a momentous occasion or something.
I am the, one we've been waiting mature for. Elder statesman of our group. We should probably just redo the whole intro.
I'll add balloons and stuff to the video.
I loved Marler saying that we should have invited him for this episode. That seemed very, very on brand for him.
So. Yeah, I think we got a good one coming up that's on brand for this episode. Right. Too, so.
But back on track for the tournament.
I
don't think anybody was surprised by the teams that were participating in the championship game, either on the men's or the women's side. It seemed like it was always going to be that way. And I think they probably turned out the way everybody thought they were going to turn out. I don't think there were any surprises.
Man, the women's team was great. I love that both teams, even Iowa towards the end, they made their run, which was exactly what was missing from the men's game last night. It just felt like there was no run coming from Purdue. Once UConn went up big, there was no stopping them. Purdue couldn't shoot from three. They were defending the three-point line really well, and Purdue defensively couldn't stop. They had Edie locked up, and he still got his numbers. The women's game was far more exciting than the men's game last night.
Yeah, it seems like UConn is too good. Once they get ahead double digits, you're not catching them. They're not gonna fall into a slump that allows you to get back in a double digit game. At least not in the tournament. Catch them early in the season maybe, but not right now. I mean, you fall behind, it's over.
They have one 7'4" guy. They have two 7'2" guys.
Yeah.
Yep. And they make runs every game, and I mean, you got to hand it to Hurley. Their offensive sets are so much fun to watch. I mean, you look at them when they come out of timeouts. If they have the ball coming out of a timeout, they score, it seems like, 90% of the time with an easy shot. And the best part is, apparently, it's Bill Murray's son is like the mastermind of their offense. Yeah. I don't know if you all saw that, but he's like a big Euro League guy. Yeah, so the whole thing is just – because I think Hurley kind of made his bones as a defensive coach. But they're just super fun to watch. And yeah, I mean, they just dared anybody but Edie to beat them. And they ran those guys off the 3-point line. And once they couldn't spot up, they had no answer at all. So Edie took 25 shots and, had almost 40 points, but there nobody else did anything. So
I'm trying to think
dominant performance.
What team beats UConn? What kind of team? We're not an X's and O's, but I know we're all pretty big basketball fans. But like we had the athletic team that could run out of the gym in Alabama. They lost by 15. Then you had kind of the big man run the offense through the middle. They lost by 15. I mean, what team beats that UConn team?
Don't laugh at me, but I think the only team that was equipped to beat them personnel-wise would have been Kentucky. I mean, Kentucky has the bigs. They've got a shooter in Shepherd, and they're athletic. I mean, obviously, they did what Kentucky does and lost in the first round. But personnel-wise, there's not many, but it seemed like maybe Kentucky would be the one team that could have maybe beaten them. But I mean, obviously Kentucky lost to Oakland, so
maybe those Kentucky players with a different coach, like that roster.
New voice, Joy. A new voice.
A new voice.
Like maybe Scott Drew, maybe. I don't know.
Is that official now or not?
I don't think so. No. No.
It's not okay.
It's just me. Yeah. I've heard rumblings. I don't think Kentucky fans are real happy about the idea of Scott Drew for whatever reason. They honestly had their hearts set on Danny Hurley, which is what I find hilarious.
Like him or hate him, there's no leaving the Northeast for that guy. I just don't foresee him leaving for the South. I mean, he's a Jersey kid, Jersey City kid. There is no more Jersey than someone from Jersey City.
Yeah.
Well, I just want y'all to know on Twitter that it's breaking news that they're actually going to hire Greg Schiano as their new basketball coach.
I believe it. I believe
it. Well, now that we've said this, tomorrow we'll find out that they hired Danny Hurley.
It's gonna right. break.
Given it's how everything
time. You.
It's true. Whoever they hire will definitely be announced tomorrow.
Yeah, you're the one that usually does this, MBG, does the whole proclamation that gets awfully wrong. So now it's going to be me. It's my turn.
Kentucky probably has the money to do it. I mean, they could probably pay him more than UConn can. But
oh, they definitely have they have more money than any basketball program in the country. It's just if you want the headache that comes along with being Kentucky's coach and the expectations. And listen, I mean, UConn is – Kentucky is a blue blood, obviously. They have got more money. But is there a better program in the last 25 years than UConn? I mean, there's – I don't think so. I think a lot of Duke fans are up in arms about, you know, some of the UConn fans coming out of the woodwork. I think what UConn's done is they've won 6 out of 7 finals that they've been to, right? So that's a huge part of it. Their hit rate has been ridiculous. But, I mean, 6 titles in 25 years, that's crazy.
Yep. Yeah. That's what Duke has, what, 5 overall?
Yeah.
Titles? 3 different coaches, too.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
And the women's game was fun. My daughter is an athlete, has never watched, had no interest in basketball ever. She's never watched a basketball game with me and sat through the whole thing. Like, you know, got to learn all about basketball. And now she's, you know, talking to friends at school about not just Caitlin Clark, but, you know, a bunch of different players. So it was pretty fun. And obviously I'm partial to Dawn Staley. She's like, as far as player coaches go, I don't know there's ever been anyone who's done it better than she has. So it's been fun for me to watch, although Casey, I'm sure, has enjoyed it a little bit less than I have.
Don't tell anybody. I'm going to cut this part out completely, but they were extremely likable, and she is too. So, you know, she's there, Dabo Sweeney. People, I think Clemson fans may not like her too much.
Right.
They don't like Dabo, but he's ours. She's theirs. So I think she's great.
Going undefeated when you basically totally reload after last year's. I mean, it's pretty impressive what they did.
Yeah, I would say it would be interesting to see if the women's game, if the momentum that they have continues once Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese go on to the WNBA, if they continue. Because right now, I think the viewership of the championship game was 18 million for the women and 14 for the men. I don't know if you contribute that to channel and time slot, but the fact that they drew more than the men is insane. So it'll be interesting to see if they keep that momentum from here on out, or what happens to the women's game.
Well, even the final last year, remember how huge that was? I think that was a 9.9 last year. They drew almost double what that game drew. Mm-hmm. So the fact that it grew that much in a year, that's pretty incredible. So hopefully it continues. But yeah, I think there's going to be some drop off because it's a personality driven league a little bit right now, I think. So hopefully there's going to be some people to step up there.
It's amazing that a 38-0 team can fly under the radar all season long because of Caitlin Clark.
All right. So that takes us to our next segment. It's our mailbag question. This week's question comes to us from friend of the podcast and frequent contributor at Skibo Lightning, who asks, this is a good timely one here, with the Masters coming up this week, what meal would you serve at the Masters dinner that best represents your taste and your culture / area? Casey, you want to kick it off?
Man, I always thought it was Ski Boy with an I Lightning, but it's Ski Bo Lightning. I know. If you don't follow that fine gentleman on X, Twitter, what the heck are you doing with your life? His impressions are better than other people that do impressions. So it is Masters week, and ironically enough, Fast Chad and I were trying to find a way to sneak into Augusta National this week, but apparently he got in a fight with the local Applebee's owner last week at the women's amateur tournament, and he's been banned from the city of Augusta indefinitely. So really, this question is appropriate and quite timely, Ryan. So I'm going to use some artistic license with this question because of my roots. I do currently live in South Carolina, but grew up in New Jersey, so I'm going with that because, quite honestly, it's that food that shaped me, literally. But I digress, as usual. Opening course, we'll go with Taylor Ham egg and cheese on a Kaiser roll. For those that don't know what Taylor Ham is, look it up. I'm not doing your research for you. And for those that say pork roll or think it's like Canadian bacon, you're both wrong. So go away. This is my moment. All right, I'm sorry. Next, we'll go with bagels and lox. I'm not sure what lox is, nor have I ever had it, but it's a thing. Then we'll go with a bar pie from Star Tavern in beautiful Orange, New Jersey. If you've never been to Orange, New Jersey, definitely go. It's a great, great time of year to go right now. The thin crust pizza is melt in your mouth food. It's melt in your mouth good, and even Hoos could eat a whole pie by himself. We may even mix in a double Italian hot dog from Dickie D's or Jimmy Buff's, or how about a ripper from Rutt's Hut? I feel like the Chamber of Commerce for North Jersey right now. And don't get me started on the cheesesteaks. Screw you, Philly. Thanks for the question, Ryan. Now I'm hungry.
That is quite a spread, man. You're going to have a little trouble walking the course after all.
And I probably missed some.
Didn't we talk Taylor Ham with Nicole Auerbach? Am I remembering that
right? We did. That was my question for her.
That's right. Okay. All right.
The mythical Central Jersey calls it pork roll.
All right, Joy. I have a feeling I could guess at least part of this.
All right. Well, do you want to guess or do you want me to tell you first?
I don't know. Do you want me to guess? I would guess crawfish will be involved.
Yeah, there's definitely obviously crawfish. Yeah. I actually looked up John Rahm's dinner so I could see like how many options there were. So they started with tapas and then had a first course and then a main course and then a dessert. So I literally planned out for all of those. So for tapas, here we go. We're getting, and I did what Casey did. I went to my roots. My tapas would be bacon-wrapped boudin, cracklins, raw oysters, char-grilled oysters, and jambalaya. I mean, we're going the full spread. Our first course, there is one good thing that comes in North Louisiana. One good thing and one good thing only, and that is a Natchitoches meat pie, preferably from a gas station right off of Interstate 10. I only serve Natchitoches meat pies as the first course. The main course has to be seafood gumbo and boiled crawfish. I just don't think anything else will go. And if you're not putting potato salad in your gumbo, then you're jacking it up. And for dessert, I feel like it's only appropriate for us to have beignets, all of the beignets, and only from Café Beignet, not Café du Monde, because we're not tourists. We're the real damn thing. So that is my master's menu.
Are you dusting the crawfish?
Absolutely freaking not. And if I dare someone to try.
I don't even know what that means, but
when we boil our crawfish, we season the water so that the water soaks into the meat, and like that's where they get flavor from. If you dust your crawfish, that means you season the outside of the crawfish, aka the part that you don't even eat.
Like it's after.
It's literally the most dumbass thing I've ever seen in my entire life. That? Stupid people that don't know what they're doing. If you dust your crawfish, jail immediately. Jail.
The two things Joy gets most passionate about, Texas A&M and crawfish.
I'm drinking out of a Master's Cup tonight in honor of this question.
Oh, nice.
All right, MBG, what region's food are you going with?
Well, I mean, I would have to go with my home state of Utah. Despite what our guests might say, Utah has a great food scene. So, I mean, I would probably make sure that there's some foods that are staples to Utah. So you'd have French fries with some fry sauce. You guys know what fry sauce is?
No idea.
Oh, man, it's delightful. It's a dip for fries. It's delightful.
I thought I was talking about that much.
What's the naming conventions up there are crazy.
You know, it's kind of a... You know, it's a mix between ketchup and mayo with some sweet relish mixed in there. Nice. Ooh, it's tasty.
Some people actually dip their crawfish in that.
Well, it's called fry sauce, so.
Well,
I don't know. All right. maybe some other staples for Utah, maybe some Jell-O, maybe some Jell-O with some grated cheese in it even. some fusion potatoes, probably. I would probably throw in some turkey steaks from a place called Maddox up there. Delightful. And, you know, probably some steak, some hamburgers, you know, just the basics. Real simple. Maybe some ice cream.
You look so mystified.
I'm just real confused. I'm real confused. I do have a question for you, MBG. I want to know, like, are you a dirty soda? I mean, you're obviously a Diet Coke guy, but like the whole dirty soda thing that Utah has, like Swig and all these fancy little drink spots. Can we serve those at your dinner? And can I, if we do, can I come?
No, I drink my soda straight up like a man. I ain't putting none of that fruity stuff in there.
Okay, but that is like a Utah thing, right?
It is. It's very much a Utah thing. I do not partake in that. I don't need anything to drink my Diet Coke with.
By the way, I love that you had a Jell-O course and an ice cream course. That's a solid meal right there.
The Jell-O course, though, can you? Grated cheese. I need an explanation.
He talked about that.
I don't know the explanation, but my mom, when I grew up, she made Jell-O, and it would be green Jell-O with grated cheese inside.
This like hasn't been talked about that I was not present for.
We delightful.
I mean, it is what it is. I don't know why they do it. But they
with all due respect, I'm judging the crap out of your mother.
Well, I'm just saying.
Shirley Temple.
She learned it from. She learned it from her mother. So you know, I mean, whatever.
All right, so I'm judging your family. So,
we're not doing this Swig nonsense.
No,
Casey, no one asked you.
Dr. Pepper, vanilla, peach, and half and half.
Honestly, it's really good. I see it all over TikTok, and I genuinely
half and half.
Yeah, a lot of people put like coconut creamer.
Mm-hmm. Oh God!
In their soda. Oh my God! It looks so and lime. Oh, it looks so good.
All right, who's?
Well, I'd have the most white trash Masters dinner of all time. I didn't do courses. I didn't do anything fancy. I'm guessing you guys could probably have an idea of what it would be. Blue crabs, corn on the cob, maybe some hush puppies, natural light, or if I'm feeling particularly white trashy, a little National Bohemian beer, which is a Baltimore beer.
Natty Boho.
And no dessert because you sit and you eat crabs until you can't move. Also, it's absolutely either newspaper or the brown, like scratchy paper for the tablecloth that you eat the crabs on.
Yes.
On the way to go. So.
Amen.
All right. I like that question. I like when we get timely questions like that. All right. So that brings us to our next segment, Genius of the Week. As always, each of us is going to nominate a player, coach, team, conference, someone who did something particularly dumb in the last week. We'll put it to a Twitter vote and see who wins. For our last vote, my nominee, Kim Mulkey, won with 58% of the vote, followed by Casey's nominee, Zach Eady, with 27%. Joy's nominee, Connor Sports, came in third with 8% of the vote. And MBG's nominee, Ramil Albano, came in fourth with 7%. That was the tattoo guy, right? I know. He got robbed. He got robbed.
I asked for a revote.
He got robbed.
All right. So now I'm in the lead with 25 wins, followed by Joy with 15, Casey with 12, Courtney with 1. MBG, you are still on 0. You're now 0-53. For reference, in August of last year, the North Fond du Lac Orioles knocked off the Ripon or Ripon High School 20-14 to end a 7-year 53-game losing streak, the longest losing streak in the state of Wisconsin. North Fond du Lac went on to lose the rest of their games by a cumulative score of 454-62. So now they are working on a 9-game losing streak going on to next season. So once again, MBG, you're in fine company.
Anytime you're in company with North Fond du Lac, you should feel pretty pleased with yourself.
I will say, MBG, if there's a week that I feel like you can break it, it's week 69. You know, that would feel good.
That's a good point.
You know, if there's a week people want to give it to you, it should really be this week.
If we had planned this better, we would have had that happen.
And this is a tough week, too. I had trouble coming up with one this week. So this might be your week, MBG.
Well, let's see.
All right, Casey, you want to kick it off?
This week, I'm going with John Calipari. I'm really going with John Calipari because just by putting his name in the vote will likely get me a much-needed win. I'm not sure what he did by leaving Kentucky would really qualify to be the Genius of the Week. However, there's a rumor out there that I want to believe so bad. And as with everything on the internet, I'm sure it's 100% true and heavily vetted for accuracy. Again, words like hearsay and unverifiable at this time were mentioned with the following. So take it for what it's worth. So Cal apparently doesn't have an agent. He needed to directly inform Kentucky anytime he was negotiating with another school. As a workaround, he enlisted his old friend and athletic director at DePaul University, Dwayne Peavy. Peavy handled all the negotiations with Arkansas and allegedly leaked the details on purpose to put pressure on Kentucky athletic director Mitch Barnhart. The hope was that the boosters and fans would align against Mitch Barnhart in an effort to keep Calipari at Kentucky and force his resignation. Peavy would then swoop in and get that Kentucky AD job, keep Cal, and save the day. Credit to Barnhart for sticking to his guns and telling Cal he either goes to Arkansas or gets canned without a buyout for breach of contract. Credit to our friend Jerry underscore C underscore underscore for this story. Even if it's not true, it's a great story and would then qualify Cal for the Genius of the Week. And I'm making the
hypothetical Genius of the Week.
All right.
All right, Joy. Who you going with?
I think it's no secret to anyone that I love being from Louisiana, and I'm very proud to be from Louisiana. But this week, I was less proud. The Louisiana governor, Jeff Landry, newly elected Louisiana governor, might I add, I don't know if y'all saw the uproar that the LSU women's basketball team like wasn't out for the national anthem during their game. And a lot of people were pissed off because no one bothers to do like any kind of research. Like Casey just said, if you see it on the internet, then it must be true. They had to be boycotting the national anthem. It couldn't be that they're never out for the national anthem. And Iowa always is. It's just the way that it worked. The Louisiana governor then decided he wanted to implement a law that would take away any student athlete's scholarship if they were not present and standing for the national anthem. So he basically wrote a law about our women's basketball team who has been not out for the national anthem all year long and threatened to take away their scholarships, because what else is more appealing to student athletes to stay in their hometown than the risk of having their scholarship taken away because they can't be out for the national anthem? Also to attack the team that has probably gotten you the most notoriety of your main flagship university in years. Probably not the smartest thing to do, but we are 49th in education. That's kind of why I moved. And so it feels pretty on brand for the Louisiana governor to do that. So for that, he is my Genius of the Week.
It's not like the players were making the choice not to be out there. They're just following whatever. I mean, they've got a thing they do, a routine before every game, and Mulkey sets the routine, and so they're not out there because they're not out there for, I don't think, for any game, right?
Never. Have never been out there. Yeah. It's because at home games, they individually run, every player individually runs out of, like, the tunnel. And so it's a big thing for them to not be out there. And it's very normal. And I actually find it hilarious because one reason everyone hates Kim Mulkey is that she's very right wing. And I'm like, I think if it were up to her, all of her players probably would be out there for the national anthem. It's just how that they've always operated, like, a standpoint. And so I'm like, y'all just can't. Y'all just want to be mad. Really, you just want to be mad.
All right, MBG. Is this the week?
I think so. I mean, it should be.
Week 69. Woo woo!
Did you guys see the eclipse? Were any of you guys in the path of totality?
No.
Yes. Oh, not totality.
Not totality.
No.
Losers.
Kind of a bummer.
Here. I was.
Loser. It's losers.
I black out on random days all the time. So what's so special about the eclipse?
Did you use your glasses?
Yep.
Like a nerd? Or you just raw you just raw dog it?
I read, MBG. What do you expect? Raw dog it.
I went bare eyes at that thing. It was awesome. So it was obviously a big deal, right? So you saw the news coverage. So my Genius of the Week is actually RCG Media in Mexico, or RCG if you will, media.
Why does it never get old?
Never.
So here's what these geniuses were up to during the eclipse. It says I'm reading this straight from the article.
I love how you call it an eclipse. Like there's a dash in between E and eclipse.
Hey, listen, just let me get to this, all right? All right, so it says, in a broadcast blunder that has since gone viral, Mexican news outlet RCG Media aired what they believed to be live footage of the 2024 solar eclipse, but instead showcased a viewer's prank involving a video of a man's testicles. During the highly anticipated coverage of the celestial event, viewers from around Coahuila were left in shock as the screen displayed not the moon passing in front of the sun, but rather a close-up video of a man's balls. The graphic image was submitted by a viewer who claimed it to be eclipse footage. So,
that's so good.
For thinking that footage of a man's testicles was actually the eclipse, RCG Media or RCG Media is my genius of the week.
This is the week.
You guys see the video? It got posted at least like four of my chats.
So. I was just looking at it right now. It's brilliant. Yeah. Brilliant.
It's just like an eclipse, man.
It really does.
Very sorry.
Yeah. You can't tell the difference.
It was not a total eclipse. I'll just say that.
It's because there was a big sun.
There was shrinkage.
I was in the pool. All right, so I'm going short and sweet this week. I had trouble coming up with anybody, so I just went with someone I don't like. My genius of the week is Dan Hurley. Casey kind of touched on this earlier. By all accounts, everyone should be celebrating Hurley after he won his second straight natty in ridiculously impressive fashion. However, between his constant temper tantrums on the sideline, if you saw him talking to Edie during the game, he touched one of his players during the game to push him towards, out towards the court. He told his son to slam the ball down as the shot clock ran down at the end of the game. Basically, all I could think of last night was how punchable his stupid face is. So for acting like a petulant and somehow overtaking his brother Bobby for the title of most annoying Hurley, Dan Hurley is my genius of the week.
Yeah, he's tough to like, man. I mean, he's a good coach, but he's tough. Yeah.
I was getting so annoyed because I mean, it's a cool story and he's the best coach in college basketball, but God, I cannot stand him. And I like the team. Like there's nobody on UConn who I dislike. It was just him. So
exactly.
All right. Before we move on to our next segment, I want to give a quick shout out to CFB Home for sponsoring the MBG podcast. You can find them on Twitter at CFB Home and online at fifthquarter.net. Also, we're doing a couple of cross promotions with other podcasts again this week. The first is with the Sickos Committee podcast. They dropped a special episode today titled Prairie View Chronicles Episode 1, where they discuss the history of Prairie View A&M football up through 1990 and the beginning of Prairie View's 80-game losing streak. We're also doing a cross-promotion with the Slander U podcast. Did a little digging around and found out that the word on the street is Slander U Gang will be dropping a new episode tomorrow, so it'll be out by the time this episode comes out. Love both those shows, so check them out. All right, y'all. This week, we're doing another installment of our newish segment called Friend of the Podcast. Every few weeks, one of us is going to invite a real life or Twitter friend to join the show and dive into the message board fun. This week was MBG's turn, and he hooked us up with a great guest. This week's guest is a USC insider whose Twitter account, at Fight on Rusty, recently won a 64-account tournament to be crowned King of College Football Twitter by CFB Talk Daily. Rusty, welcome to the show, man.
Woohoo!
Rusty, welcome aboard.
Really scraping the bottom of the barrel here.
That's true. That's true. It's the off season, Rusty.
Yeah, no, but I appreciate it. I know there are probably many no's before me, but I still appreciate being on anyway.
So many no's.
Rusty, we got to ask you. You've seen USC win at least a couple of national championships. You've seen several Heisman winners. Where does this Twitter tournament win rank for you among all those accomplishments there?
Oof. Yeah, I mean, beating Oklahoma 55-19, that was pretty cool. Reggie Bush Heisman, which absolutely counts, was pretty cool. But I mean, this is a personal accomplishment that I feel like rallied a lot of Twitter together and USC football together in ways that Pete Carroll and Reggie Bush could never do. So I almost feel like there should be a statue built of me, possibly. Question mark.
Right next to OJ, perhaps.
Yeah, we're actually, funny you say that. We were talking about that in a USC chat like 20 minutes ago, that maybe we should make like a white Bronco statue somewhere near the Coliseum.
You could With be Cooper inside next to AJ Cowlings or something, riding shotgun.
Exactly. Yeah. Just yeah. Me with my Australian Shepherd dog.
All right, man. So before we get into the message board posts, we usually start off by going around and having each of us ask the guests a question and just letting you cook. Does that work?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so you've probably heard the show before. Casey's up first, so if you need to go get a drink or anything, now's a good time to do it.
Arrogant Nation, a.k.a. Rusty, or is it Cooper? I'm so confused at who I'm talking to right now. Are you a dog? Are you the spokesman for a dog? Either way, you're the preeminent, I'm not sure what that word means, USC account on X, and it's the real USC, not the other school near me that argues annually with you about it. But I really appreciate you coming on the show as part of our Friends of the Podcast episode. This is a long time coming, really. You know, I was thinking about my long-winded question to nowhere earlier and realized that I have such an East Coast bias, and I felt like tonight was a great night to just admit that to the world. I'm not really sure why I felt the need to tell you, but here we are. Just thought it fit. But truth be told, Hoos tells me after every show that nothing I ask our guests usually fits, but I'll keep trying. Joy, you awake? When I think of USC Trojans, I think of Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart, O.J. Simpson, Coach McKay, and that guy that split town to coach in Seattle, the one who wouldn't give Marshawn Lynch the ball in the Super Bowl to give Tom Brady yet another undeserved Super Bowl championship and MVP. And speaking of Brady, you apparently lived in Boston for a bit. That place is something. Have you ever had Taylor ham, egg, and cheese up there? And what kind of Joe do you get at Dunkin'? Those aren't my questions. All right, get to it. I see Joy's eyes glossing over. We're so excited to have you, truly, Rusty. Thanks for coming on. Apparently, you broke some news recently regarding USC, and therefore, my question is, how do you like your brisket?
I guess, you know, I'll start off with there's many, many ways to cook brisket. The way that Lincoln Riley cooks brisket is not one of those ways. So absolutely, 100% not one of those ways. You know, you had I think back to like my grandmother, my Jewish grandmother, who like literally made it like the old school Jewish way where you stick it in the oven and still it doesn't come out like Lincoln Riley's. It still comes out juicy somehow. I don't know how you make brisket like that, but it's actually kind of impressive. Yeah, I don't really have a good answer for that because unfortunately I don't make my own brisket, but I do love Southern brisket.
And that's the point, I think too.
He's in the right place because you don't eat brisket in California.
I mean, yeah,
exactly. We're too busy eating salads.
The real question is, you did break some news apparently about Bear Alexander the other day. You want to talk about that a little bit?
So Bear Alexander, which I may be retracting some news because there are some things happening there, but heard from inner workings of USC's collective group that Bear Alexander last week was looking to make a move. Really what that translated to is he wanted more money and he was getting offers for more money from schools that were local to his, we'll call it quote unquote handler in Texas. So a lot of the Texas schools were involved there.
Shocking.
Big shock there. Even SMU getting involved with some of that. So, but as part of that, there have been conversations with USC throughout today and Coach Eric Henderson and Bear Alexander. And there is rumors that Bear is actually going to stick around now and actually not enter the transfer portal. So like everything, this is all fluid with college football and NIL and transfer portals. So, you know, I hope he stays, but I wouldn't, you know, put my eggs in any basket either way. So,
well, you know, we only work with message boards, so we know it's true and vetted, and you know, so that's really what the information that we want on this show.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, the message boards are telling me that he is actually going pro, he's becoming a head coach.
Oh yeah, probably.
All those different things. So
he's probably taking the Kentucky basketball job, let's be honest.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, this week there's almost been too much stuff going on. You know what I mean? Like, I've been staying up way too late watching, reading about Calipari and everybody else. So, all right, Joy, what do you have for Rusty?
As you know, I'm always the girl that brings it back to football. I have to remind the guys that that is ultimately like why we're here. And so, two things. One, I hope I get to meet you because I will be at LSU USC in Las Vegas in September. So, you know, that'd be cool. But secondly, how do you feel about your move to the Big Ten? Are you looking forward to it? Or do you think it's a good culture fit? How do you think it affects your team? I know it's a really like loaded question, and you could probably go on for a good bit of time on it, but just like a couple good points about like how you feel about it.
Yeah. So obviously when you think of Big Ten country, you think of Los Angeles, right? So beaches,
for sure.
Palm trees, all of that. So I think the culture is obviously, you know, we're just going to slide right in and everything will be okay.
Perfect.
I mean, it's exciting, right? I mean, like, I'm so happy that we don't play Washington State, Oregon State. Not that I don't love those schools and, you know, they don't have like a near dear part of my heart, but I think just playing Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan State, all those schools in the Big Ten, I'm even excited about going to Rutgers, which is obviously only spelled without the S. Rutgers. Yeah. I don't know two Rutgers. But I think it's really exciting. I think that obviously there is a need for us as a football team to change how we recruit and how we build players. We've done a really good job of that this offseason. There's been a lot of branding by USC about how much muscle and weight the team has put on. So I think we're starting to do a good job there as far as at least publicizing that towards recruits and towards, you know, the fan base. So that's exciting. And obviously, you know, we're going to have to learn how to play defense, which, you know, probably the biggest issue for us is that side of the ball. So I'm excited about the hires that Lincoln Riley has made. You can see a difference in how he's coaching practices, just being more fluid between working with the offense and working with the defense. Previously, he obviously just worked with quarterbacks and worked with the offense. Now he's with the defensive line, he's with the linebacker. So I think that's a good thing. He's had success in being a very offensive-minded coach, but that only gets you so far, especially when you enter the Big Ten, which, you know, you're going to really play a bunch of teams that know the defensive side of the ball really well, have played Ohio State, which, you know, runs a wide open offense. So I think that, you know, those things are going to be necessary for us to make an impact and be a good team in the Big Ten. You know, we've changed up our defensive staff to really reflect that. I don't know, you know, what that means. And I don't think anybody knows what that means for as far as like how good we're going to be this year or how poorly we're going to be this year. You know, I look at our schedule and I think we can be anywhere from like 6-6 to 11-1. And I won't say which of the one loss I think that is, but
Rucker.
It's not Rucker. But it's somebody on this podcast team who may have just asked me the question.
I was going to let it go. I was going to let it slide, but
well, now you do play Utah State as well. So
we do. Yeah. You do have a stud quarterback who knows the Big Ten really, really well. So yeah,
there you go. How do you say that, MBG?
Spencer Petras.
Oh. I thought it was Diego Fabia. Name.
No.
He's next year.
Yeah, I didn't think Spencer had a lot of accent to it there, Casey.
Or forward passes.
All right, Rusty. So I'm going to take it back away from football, which is what I usually do. So one of my favorite things that you do on Twitter is you troll different states, different fan bases about their food, whether it's Ohio and their banana and mayonnaise sandwiches or Utah and their cranberry pickle pie. So I was wondering which state or fan base has gotten the most upset and triggered about your posts.
You know, I think this is going to be surprising, but it's Ohio State specifically. Like, Cincinnati does not care at all. And I don't like brand anything towards Ohio State. I just say Ohio. It's the same thing with like my Utah posts. Like Utah, I don't say anything about the University of Utah. There's Utah State, there's BYU, there's other schools there. But for whatever reason, Utah just takes it so to heart. But it's Ohio State. Like, they are just like so mad about food that it just, and they don't understand, like, that just makes me want to do it more.
do it harder.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm going to go out of my way to find food pictures now. But I think it's, you know, it's a lot of fun. I you know, there's definitely a place for both Ohio and Utah food, and it's never in the trash, but there's a perfect place on Twitter for it because both fan bases just kind of like get up in arms around it. MBG, keep me honest here. Is Jell-O the state food of Utah?
We just talked about this.
I don't know if there is an official state food of Utah, but if there was, it would most certainly be Jell-O. Yes.
Yeah.
With cheese in it. With cheese in it.
Which is just,
wait. Oh my gosh, I just Googled it and it really is Jell-O.
Wait, the state food is Jell-O?
State food is cherry. Your state snack food is Jell-O.
Oh my god, that is too good. And that's why it's Ohio who gets so angry. Utah probably takes it as a compliment.
Like, yeah, what are you talking about, man?
Like, yeah.
We love
it. Delicious.
Thank you.
Oh man, that's great. Thanks for Googling that, Joy.
Yeah. She's our research staff.
I can't always contribute, but when I can.
It's a doozy.
All right, MBG. So, what do you have for Rusty?
I really just have one question. I guess it's just a point of clarification, Rusty. Are you me?
That is a really good question because, like, AI is real, deep fakes are real. We don't know if we're actually in two different rooms recording this or we are the same person recording this at the same time. In the same room at the same time.
Can you do a Spanish accent real quick and let us know?
I think if I do that, I'm kicked out of California.
Point being, there were many people on Twitter who were convinced or still are convinced that Rusty and I are the same people. This today may dispel some of those myths or it may perpetuate them. I'm not sure. But I just wanted at least to get your point of view and just to make sure that you're not me and to clear up my confusion, at least.
It is kind of strange that you would ask me to be the friend of the podcast. That's
true.
That's sketchy.
On a podcast where we can't see each other, where no one can see our faces. Yeah, that's true.
Oh, we're just adding to it.
On that note, let's go to some message board posts that we want you to comment on, Rusty. So I tried to find some that might be right up your alley. And I know the first one for sure should be right up your alley. At some point along the line, USC developed this rivalry with Oklahoma somehow, or Oklahoma developed a rivalry with USC. I'm not sure if it's reciprocated very much from the USC side, but there's some animosity on the Oklahoma side. And so there was this post from Desert Eagle 50 on the OU Insider, and he's talking about an experience he had with his boss who asked him this question. His boss asked him, other than NIL, there is no reason for a kid to go to OU over USC, right? And Desert Eagle 50 responds with why he thinks someone would go to Oklahoma over USC. So I'm going to read his argument and get your response. He says, first, the OU fan base is loyal and intense. We always fill that stadium, and we really care what happens in the program and the kids in the program. Second, Norman is a real college town, which some might find as a negative, but as a parent, do you really want an 18-year-old kid whose parents are 1,000 miles away running around L.A. with a couple hundred grand of NIL cash burning a hole through his pocket? Also, OU's campus is fun. Everything is in walking distance, and it's safe versus USC, which is in a dangerous and crime-ridden section of L.A. Third, the beach is there in the sense that California has beaches, but it's at least 2 hours away from you. Fourth, in LA, you are just another face in the crowd. In Oklahoma, football is everything. You are a rock star. The second you step on campus in LA, USC football is just another thing to do on a Saturday. Okay, that's my 5-minute pitch. How did I do? So, Rusty, how did he do?
So, he did terribly, first of all. So I want you to close your eyes for a minute and imagine yourself in Norman, Oklahoma. Are you scared?
I don't want to go to hell, Rusty.
Yeah, I'm a little bit scared, like even thinking about going there. So I'm going to go point by point here. First, the OU fan base is a little intense. I beat your number one account in this Twitter tournament, so you're not that loyal, you're not that intense.
Boom.
In your face. You're still-
The finger point, MBG, was key.
So right? Utah.
In your face.
Got you. Always fill the stadium. Okay, so what? Like, who cares? It's a stadium. Like, cool. You go to games. Yes, you're a football fan. Whatever. Doesn't really put you Norman, Oklahoma over LA. Whatever. Second, Norman is a real college town. Fine. But do you want to be in Norman, Oklahoma over Los Angeles, California? Probably not. Also, when you're in LA and at USC, it feels like a college town. You don't really go anywhere else. You don't feel like you're in LA. So I'll just point that out. Like, that's obviously something that recruits when they come to LA, they feel that. Do you really want 18-year-olds whose parents are 1,000 miles away running around LA with a couple hundred grand of cash burning a hole through his pocket? I'm more scared of what they're going to do to that weirdo that they meet on the corner of Norman, Oklahoma with that money burning in their pocket than I am what they're going to do in LA, which is probably like buy a car, have a nice apartment, things that like Bear Alexander currently has and hopefully will continue to have. OU's campus is fun. It's really not that fun. USC is a huge party school. It has the best Greek life west of the Mississippi. So again, that isn't a really compelling argument. The beach is like 10 minutes away. I don't know who thinks it's 2 hours away. The beach is 10 minutes away. There's mountains an hour away. Like literally you can do anything. LA, you're just another face. I think Caleb Williams kind of pointed out that that's not true. You're not just another face. You're like one of the biggest faces that can be elevated to the status of like a LeBron James. I mean, even look at our basketball team. We absolutely sucked this year. And we had celebrities at every game. Just to see Bronny, just to see Isaiah Collier. So, like, you're not just another face. You're a part of those faces. Yeah, LA football is just another thing to do on a Saturday. I'll admit that. But still, I would rather be in Los Angeles, California, playing football for USC than going to Norman, Oklahoma and possibly being stuck in Norman, Oklahoma. You know, there's not many ways out of that. So, you know.
One way in, like, one way out.
Exactly. Like, where are you going to go? No, I'm kidding. But really, like, when I see, like, successful graduates of the University of Oklahoma, they're weirdly in two places. One is Texas, and two is Los Angeles. So, I don't know. Maybe there's some validity to living in Los Angeles.
How many have you seen? Because I don't even know if I've seen that many.
They have graduates?
There's, like, three.
You can graduate?
I do love these posts, and it's nothing against Norman or now Arkansas fans have been making it about Mus when they talk about how terrible life must be in California and why would you move to California over Norman or Fayetteville, Arkansas. And it just makes me wonder if those people have ever been to California.
They have not. I can promise you that.
Outside of Oklahoma or Arkansas.
I mean, there's
still vacation in Arkansas.
Exactly.
Only thing good about Fayetteville is Walmart. It's the only thing good about it. If it went for the Waltons, that city wouldn't even exist.
That's true. I should probably vacation in Bentonville. Hon.
Vacation at a Walmart.
All right, next one. Let's talk a little bit about your friends up in Oregon, because I know you like the Ducks and you're a big Duck fan. Always have been, always will be. There was a post on a Washington board. A Washington fan was upset that Oregon quarterback was on the ESPN homepage. And for some reason that upset him, Dylan Gabriel. And so he says this, ESPN Oregon worship. Why is a Duck the featured guy on ESPN's marquee story today? It's not because he's the best player. It's not because he's anywhere close. It's because of the super toxic corruption of Uncle Phil's Nike money that has brought Oregon undue praise and prominence for years. We don't do much investigative journalism in this country anymore. We do access journalism, puff pieces, or partisan screed option pieces. But I wish someone would do a definitive piece on how much Phil Knight's sweatshop blood money has corrupted refs, networks, media to suck up to the Mountain Hillbilly College at the expense of integrity, decency, and a level playing field.
That's a lot of words.
So is that something you'd like to see, some investigation into Uncle Phil and his sweatshops and how he's buying officials and networks?
You know, I think that, and I have a working theory on Uncle Phil, that he is on his last leg. And the reason he is spending so much money right now is because he needs to see a championship before he passes. However, Uncle Phil has made a deal with the devil in order to get Oregon to this point. So he's really in a lose-lose situation. He's trying to outspend the devil, and it's really not working. But yeah, no, absolutely. I agree with Sea Lancer and, you know, calling Unca Phil, which is probably my favorite part of this post, Unca Phil. Yeah, let's look into it. Let's see what's going on with Unca Phil. You know, he's corrupted refs, networks, media. He has sweatshops. He abuses children. That is a serious offense. And I think we really need to look into it. No, but in all seriousness, like, if you have the money, spend it. Like, he's doing what any one of us with that access to that money would do for any of our universities. So like, it is what it is. There's really nothing you can do about it, but we should absolutely look into those sweatshops because that is an issue.
Don't most schools have an Uncle Phil? I mean,
or sweatshops.
I feel like schools have like a combined Uncle Phil, but like, the fact that like he's like this big ominous figure that just like, I don't know, I feel like he's just like playing puppetry over the University of Oregon. That's how I kind of see him. Yeah, like with USC, we have a ton of donors, ton of big donors, but I don't think all of them combined equal Uncle Phil, and I think that's the bigger issue.
Isn't it a little creepy though? Isn't the uncle always like the drunk uncle, the creepy uncle? Like, you know, so they call him Uncle Phil, that just elicits, I don't know what that word means either, but like I always think creepy. Like, he's creepy. I don't think I've ever seen him really. What's he look like? Is he creepy?
He's old now.
He's wow. Very creepy.
Yeah.
I think AM functions like that, like with the guy that started Buc-ee's. Like, he pulls all of their strings.
Utah State and the crispy. What's the donut cookie place?
Crumble Cookie Empire.
You know, a little known fact is that the president of Nike, one of the presidents of Nike, Charlie Denson, was a USU graduate. So,
well, why isn't he giving you any money?
No, the other piece of this is Washington beat Oregon twice. They won a college football playoff game. And there's, I mean, this is, I hate the term little brother, but this is prime little brother behavior here, right? Like, still posting about Oregon obsessively is just, I don't know. I think I'd just be focused on having probably the best season they've had since, what, 91? Is that when they won the Natty, 90 or 91?
Mm-hmm. But they can't because everyone left them who's, they're depressed, okay? They lost everyone, their coach, most of their players, their athletic director. They have no one left.
That's fair.
It's literally like, it is like little brother, like literally like the big brother's hand is against the head and he's just trying to like punch at him. Like that's right. What I imagine Washington doing with Oregon. Like, right. It's hilarious.
All right. Next post. This is one of my favorite ones in a while. You're on message boards enough, Rusty, to know the different kinds of guys you see on message boards. This was on a Mississippi State message board, and it was actually, he's talking about a college baseball game, which if you know me, Rusty, you know that I think baseball's dumb, but this post is good enough that we can read it here.
This is from onto your brain, that's for sure.
This is from a guy named Preacher Matt 83, right? And this was apparently, there was a big brawl in the baseball game between Mississippi State and Oregon, and he wasn't happy with how their coach handled that.
Mississippi State and Georgia.
Georgia.
That's what I said, right?
No, you said Oregon.
Oh, I had Oregon on the brain.
Mississippi Uncle State Phil got Georgia. You.
Yeah. Using his voodoo magic on you.
As I say, how much did it was that check you just got? If you just
check is in the mail.
All right, so this is what Preacher Matt said. He said he's sitting in the dugout while his players are in the clubhouse. He refuses to fight for his kids, hide behind a screen, and call me an idiot. Everyone on here knows me and how to find me. Call me an idiot to my face like a man. PM me, and I'll send you a number and an address, you coward. And then there's a scripture quote. There's a signature, Romans 5:8, which I thought was a neat touch.
That's the best part there.
Yeah. This is just a real man of faith, a man of God.
My favorite is that scripture is literally like, and in the greatest act of love, Christ gave his life for us. I'm like, and you're acting like a dumbass.
It just gives me the meet me in Temecula vibe.
Oh, I was hoping somebody would bring that up. That was one of the best Twitter things ever. Were you all around for that? It was like 10 years ago, I think.
No.
Oh. So, MBG, I don't know if you remember the particulars, but I looked up the guys involved. It was at Snotty Drippin' and another guy, my tweets, real AF. They got into Twitter beef over Kobe Bryant that devolved into Mr. Real AF driving over a half an hour to Temecula in an attempt to fight Snotty Drippin' on Christmas Day. Like, he was That's posting tremendous. A picture of where he was in Temecula saying, like, basically pull up, drop a pin.
That's not far from you, Rusty.
No, that's like a good like hour and a half for me.
Yeah.
I can pull up there.
One of my favorite things on Twitter to follow in real time.
Has anyone ever threatened to fight you on Twitter or on the message board, Rusty?
Oh yeah. Yeah, many times.
That's why he has that room behind him. That's where he hides.
Yeah, exactly.
Audio only. Don't
the
worry
quickness
about it.
That you said, "Oh yeah," was perfect. By the way, it's like, yeah.
It's just stupid because, like, and I posted this a couple of weeks ago. You're trying to fight a dog. Like, that's just ridiculous. Who wants to fight a dog?
Yeah, I've seen you anger people on Twitter to the point where they're ready to throw hands more than once. It's always fun to watch, man.
You just have a way of getting under people's skin.
You do really do.
And embrace it.
Yeah, it's really a skill at this point.
And then it's like a high, because then you just want to keep doing it. Like, once you know it works, it's just like, oh, let me keep going.
Yeah, unfortunately, I feel like the average IQ on Twitter isn't as high as we would like it to be. So it makes it a little bit easier.
Right.
All right, let's close this out with what was my favorite post of the week, I think.
Time for me to go hide.
Joey loves these.
So at one point in the week, there was a post on a Tennessee board that said something along the lines of that there was going to be some smoke coming out about Drinkwitz, Eli Drinkwitz, the coach of Missouri. And it said, videos and such, it's all spilling out. He's neck deep in it from what I'm hearing. That made its way over to an Arkansas board, which fittingly is called hogbeat.com.
Because of course it is.
And they were talking about this post, and Aklum501 says to his friends there on Hogbeat, be honest, if a Drinkwitz sex tape was out there, you would watch it, right? So, Rusty, if I told you today that there was an Eli Drinkwitz sex tape out there, you'd watch it, right?
Whoa, that pause is really. <Yes. sweet. laughs>
I got to be honest. I watched testicles on my screen tonight during the
show. Yeah, I 100% watched it. Don't
if
feel
I
ashamed.
Should know, I'd be probably lying to you.
What is wrong with y'all?
I would just have some questions, right? Like, who is it? How were they? Is it like one of those like old school Jerry rigged? Like, I feel like he has like a video camera. Like, it isn't with his phone. It wouldn't be with his phone.
Like a tripod with a...
Yeah, like, it would be like, I don't know, it would be like in a cheap hotel, like, I don't know, he just seems like that kind, and that's like, that's what spurs the interest, like, did he do that? Did he put it on a tripod? Where is he? Who is he? Like, is he wearing a costume? Those are all things that I think he would do.
Yeah, so it's how not weird necessarily is the be, act, right? It's the weirdness.
Look, I've seen Hulk Hogan naked. I'm not going to pretend like I've got some moral high ground here.
I can't find that video. Anymore.
If there was anyone on the podcast we thought had moral high ground, it wasn't going to be you, I promise.
I'm going to draw an artificial line at Eli Drinkwitz.
That was a real long pause, though, by Rusty. Like, you know, that's one of those things where, like, either, like, yes or no, off the top of your head, you're going with something, right? And Rusty, that was like a long, like, I still don't know if you would watch it or not. Like, I don't know what your answer was.
Well, the pause was, like, trying to convince myself in my head that I wouldn't, but really, I would. I think that's...
You didn't want to lie to yourself. Or
yeah, I was like... You don't want to say yes. You don't want to do that. And then, like, I couldn't convince myself at all. So, why lie to my friends?
My favorite response to this one was, "I've seen Jim McElwain get it on with a shark. I think I can watch Eli get his drunk wits on."
That was my first thought. Was McElwain? That was literally my first thought. Like, we've already seen that, right?
I mean, it's not.
Could you imagine Mark Mangino sex tape?
Now I can. I'm gonna.
How would you find it?
Just Mark Mangino and a vat of pudding. Hell yeah! I can imagine.
Joy, we didn't get your answer, Joy.
Absolutely over, never over my dead body. That is freaking. I can't even look at him like just in clothes. Like he's that unattractive to me. So the idea of a sex tape with him literally makes me want to vomit. I think I would almost rather hold a conversation with Jimbo Fisher.
Whoa.
Than watch an Eli Drinkwitz sex tape, and that's saying a lot. I said almost, Casey. Don't get excited. I said almost. I don't work out a Planet Fitness, so my odds of running into him are low.
Can you edit that so Joy just says hell yes? Is
there a yes. Way? Yeah, I got it.
I dare you.
And we'll clip that and put it on Twitter.
I'll give these lawyers, I'll give them some work to do.
I'm not that good, Joy. I'm not that good. I've got you guys fooled.
He's probably just trying
to have the workers' comp attorney and file a complaint.
He's just trying to follow the Kim Kardashian road to success, I think.
Come back story.
Aren't we MVP. All?
Yeah.
No, we're all not. Rusty, what the hell?
Oh, sorry about that.
Okay. Y'all need to call Preacher Matt. I don't know where he's at, but
he's busy fighting people.
Yeah, he's fighting.
He's in a Best Buy parking lot somewhere, probably fighting a bunch of Mississippi State
fans.
In
Starkville?
Waiting for people That's to pull up.
I'm disgusted. I need to go. I gotta go pray or something.
That's all I brought. Rusty, you got anything to plug for us?
Yeah, plug us.
Can we stop with the innuendos, please?
Casey got Eli on the brain.
It's weird because you said plug us and all I could think about was Eli Drinkwitz. So
it's the most fitting into the 69 episode that I've heard.
That's a fair point. It came full circle there.
You can find me on Twitter just at Fight on Rusty. Appreciate you guys having me on. This has been a lot of fun. So yeah, thanks guys. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for coming on. It was fun.
Thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks, Rusty.
All right. That'll do it for this week's episode, the MBG Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. You can check out more content at messageboardgeniuses.com. And we'll see you next time, losers.